All right, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. One of the things that I mentioned a couple weeks ago was when we're looking at the soul and spirit compared to the body, that there is a spiritual equivalent of whatever is in the body in the soul. I think one of the, well, there are a number of proofs of this. Well, one is a very common thing, and that is amputees, when their physical leg or arm has been removed, they have a sometimes itching of an arm that isn't there, a pain. Sometimes they just feel that it's still there. The other is something that I've seen quite a bit of, and that is people with Alzheimer's. When that part of their brain has been destroyed, the physical brain. I've seen so many cases of Alzheimer's patients who have amazing memory when it comes to spiritual things. We had a lady got saved here, ended up in a facility in Ocala, and I went to visit her. We sat down at a table. She was at the point she couldn't even recognize her own daughter. She didn't recognize anyone. She didn't know who I was. And as we sat down and I talked to her, I mentioned to her, I said, you know, the Lord still loves you. And Jesus has given you so many blessings. And she says, oh yeah, I remember that. And she started singing. And she sang some songs at that table with a recognition of all those stanzas that are in that song. Her brain had deteriorated to the point, and by the way, she died like a week or two later, but her brain had deteriorated, the physical brain, to the point where she couldn't recognize anybody. They had a hard time feeding her. She couldn't swallow. She'd forgotten that. And yet she could remember spiritual things. I think these things kind of weigh in favor of believing that while something may happen to your physical brain, your spiritual brain, the brain that's in your soul, that still lives. We have other areas of comparison. And one of the very important ones are our ears. We have ears to hear, physically. And yet if a person was totally deaf, does that mean that they couldn't hear the Holy Spirit?
No.
Why not? It's because there are spiritual ears. There are ways in which a person can hear spiritually, even if the physical ears aren't operating properly. Hearing is awfully important. For an example, you go out for a walk in the woods and you hear this rattle. It's awfully important to know what that sound means. It's awfully important for you to be able to hear that that's a rattlesnake that's very close to you. You walk into Walmart and you hear the sounds of gunfire. That's a warning. That's something you should react to. But it's important to be able to hear. When there's a truck coming and you know that it's getting closer and closer and it's right behind you and you know it's going to rear end you while you're at that intersection, it's awfully important to be able to hear so you can make evasive action, get away from that. And while that all relates to our physical hearing, there is that comparable spiritual hearing that is even more important. In the book of Deuteronomy, we have the Lord speaking about his voice being heard by the children of Israel. Now, I know that a lot of people say, look, if God spoke to me, I'd never forget it. If God spoke to me and told me something, man, I'd do it because that is something that is so intensive and so powerful. How could I ignore it? Well, look what it says here about the children of Israel. In verse 33, Deuteronomy chapter 4. Did ever a people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard, and live? Or hath God essayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation by temptations, by signs, by wonders, by war, by a mighty hand, and by a stretched out arm, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? Unto thee it was showed, that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God, and there is none else beside him. Out of heaven, he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee. And upon earth he showed this, his great fire, that thou heardest his words out of the midst of the fire. He said, you heard. And more than that, we see God speaking. Several things to keep in mind. Number one, God is God and he's able to speak in any way he chooses. In this case, he wanted to speak to the entire nation at one time. An amazing thing. They all heard. But also, we need to keep in mind that although they heard, it didn't register. I mean, how can you ignore God speaking out of this pillar of fire? How could you ignore God speaking in so many ways that he did to the children of Israel? Not only did he speak spiritually to affect the soul and spirit, but he spoke verbally so that the people could hear with their ears. I know people say God doesn't speak today. And I'd say that they're wrong. Because the Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. And while he may not speak out of a fiery pillar as he did to the children of Israel, he speaks just as powerfully, just as strong as he ever has. Now the problem is that the number of people, and sometimes you have to ask yourself, am I among them? The number of people who say, how come God doesn't speak to me? Over and over again in the book of Acts, we see the church beginning. And we see God communicating with his people, giving them directions, giving them guidance. We have Paul and Silas, Paul and Barnabas. They come back from one mission. They get with the elders. They all get on their knees. They fast and they pray. And God speaks to them all. And says, this is where I want you to go next. This is what I want you to do next. And even though it isn't speaking from a fiery pillar, God is able to speak today just as clearly and as powerfully as he ever did. And this is something that should be very precious to us because we're his children. Could you imagine parents who don't speak to their children? I'm talking about raising kids in the home and they just don't talk to them. They may ask, did you get your lunch? It's on the kitchen counter. They may ask something like that. But it's amazing how people kind of put God off into this isolation booth. And they say, well, God is afar off. He doesn't speak like he used to. Yes, he does. He does. Throughout Scripture, we find God speaking through his Holy Spirit. We find God speaking through his Word. We find God speaking in so many ways. These sounds that God makes, they need to alert us to so many important things in this day. One of the reasons why churches around the world today are going down and down and down spiritually is because they're not listening. They have turned off God. And while they hear themselves, and they like to hear themselves, they don't hear very much from God. There's another scripture over in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 14. And verse 7. It says, "And even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped?" They have to be distinctive, is what he's saying. And this is where the church at Corinth really got confused, and they got the cart before the horse. They wanted to hear themselves. And so the church at Corinth was going off into almost a cultish thing until they got stopped by the Lord, because they wanted to hear themselves. I think all of us have battled the issue of this voice that I hear. Is it me? Or is it God? Yet you go to the Lord in prayer and sometimes with fasting, and you say, "Lord, I need to know what your will is. I want to do it." And you get an idea, but then you double check on it, and you say, "I don't know if this is from God or not." Well, this is where the Bible tells us we need to learn the distinction of different sounds. We need to learn the difference between us and God. And you know, sometimes even the devil's voice can be awfully strong. Sometimes our voice can outweigh the voice of God if we let it. Sometimes the voice of the Holy Spirit is so simple and so quiet and subtle that we sometimes ignore it. But we need to learn how to distinguish the voice of God. And I know we've covered this before, but I just want to share with you a couple sounds that the Bible deals with. Well, one is over in Joshua, the book of Joshua, chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. Sounds of faith. Sounds of faith. It's not unusual to get an email from one of our precious associates overseas, and they'll write about a need that they have. Several of them, because of most of them are in third world countries. Sanitation is not good. They don't have malaria under control, and various other diseases, they're not under control either. And they'll write and they'll say, "So-and-so is sick. Will you pray with us? We believe God for their healing." Now that's a sound of faith. That's a sound of faith. But then there are times when you get emails and they say, "Pray for us. We're in desperate need. We have real problems." And there's no sound of faith whatever. It's almost a frustration where you realize that if there's going to be any faith, it's going to be on your part, because they don't have it. But there is a certain sound of faith, and sometimes it's rather noisy, because when somebody really believes that God's going to do something, sometimes it can almost be irritating like a trumpet. But it's giving a message. And that message is important. In Joshua, the scripture we're going to read deals with the Israelite army surrounding a city. And we're all familiar with that story. But let's just look at certain aspects of it. In verse 3, you shall compass the city, all of you men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shall you do 6 days. And the 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. We're all familiar with the Battle of Jericho. But have you ever stopped to realize that here was a battle that, you know, the major part of it was won when the walls came down. That's what was protecting the citizens of Jericho from being invaded by the Israeli army. And how are they going to get those walls down? In the area that they were looking at, there was somewhat of a moat. And from that wall, archers were able to shoot down across that moat and shoot the enemy as they were approaching. That wall had to go. And they had no way to do it. And so God said, here's the answer. Here's what I want you to do. Now, the children of Israel had to hear this. They had to hear. First of all, Joshua had to hear. He had to be able to listen so he could instruct the people. And when the people were instructed, they had to walk by faith. Because how does it make any sense? Walking around the city a certain number of times, and the Lord specified it had to be a certain number of times. If they had gone around on that last day 5 times, this wouldn't have worked. God said, do it 7. And as they walked around the city, they had to be filled with faith that what God told Joshua was going to come to pass. And they shouted with a great shout, as loud as they could. And they gave praise to God because they had faith that God was going to do something miraculous. Now, sometimes we don't even give God the credit after he does bless. Sometimes I find people who are praying and praying and praying over something, and they're not willing to say, well, I know what God said. This is what's going to happen, because they don't have that certainty. They don't hear from God, so they can't. They're just hoping for the best. And that's the way most Christians operate today. They're afraid to speak out because their hearing from God is so poor that they don't know what God wants done. And so they're afraid to embarrass themselves or hurt the Lord's testimony, and so they don't say anything. Now, after it's all done, they may mention, boy, the Lord got me through this, the Lord got me through that, praise God. You know, that's all well and good. But that isn't faith. That is praising God for something that has already happened. But there is a sound of faith. And the children of Israel at this particular point had it. Keep in mind, these were the children of the ones who came out of Egypt. Except for Joshua and Caleb, all the rest of them died in the wilderness. But here the children are filled with faith. And they believed God. They trusted him. And they knew he was going to do something great against their enemies. And they saw it happen. We need to hear not just babbling, but the things that actually come from God. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And you may count this silly, but I know there are an awful lot of people who really dwell on this scripture. And I've known people down through the years that they made this particular area of scripture their absolute favorite. And that's good. That's good. It shows hope. It shows faith. But there's another element of faith. And I want you to see it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. It says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Now, this is where I have my concerns. I think that some people won't hear the trumpet because they're so busy doing other things, so involved in other things. I've seen this where I've seen it in this church. Parents tell their children, "Come on, it's time to go." And although the children may have heard with their physical ears, it never reached down into their hearts because they're going in the opposite direction from where the parents were. I mean, they're making a beeline, "Let me get out of here as quick as I can," and go the other way. I've seen parents shout at their kids, and it's as if the kids didn't hear. And somehow or other, I'm equating the very same thing to when the trump of God sounds. That there are so many Christians caught up and doing things in this world, they're not paying attention to anything God's doing. I mean, every now and then their thoughts go back to the Lord. That their vision is, "All right, I got to serve the Lord," and it goes on for a week or two, and they're fine. But then they just go right on back again to where they were, ignoring the voice of God. Hearing God, especially in these last days, is such an important thing. In these last days, we're going to have more personal decisions of faith that we have to make, more decisions of what we're going to do with the world situation, in particular our country situation, than any generation that has ever lived in this country before. And we're going to have the need to hear. And we have to distinguish the voice of God. We have to listen to Him. And, you know, there I didn't have time to finish this, but I was going to have some sounds and give you a quiz. A sound of a gunfire. And ask, what is this? And everybody would recognize, "Oh, that's the sound of a gun going off." And then sound of a cow, "Moo." And everybody would say, "Oh, that's the sound of a cow." And then the sound of a peacock. And most people would catch that. And it almost sounds like a scream. And they'd say, that's the sound of a peacock. Now, those are sounds that we don't live with every day. You don't hear a gun going off every day. You don't hear the sound of a peacock every day. You don't hear various other sounds, but you're able to recognize them. You're able to distinguish them. And I want to challenge you tonight to the fact that the voice of God is so holy and so powerful, so loving, that it is different from your own voice, different from any other voice you will ever hear. And yet Christians complain to God that they don't hear from Him. when in fact they do. But they're just like the little kids that when their parents call them, they've got other things to do. They've got other things to do. In 1 Chronicles, Old Testament, 1 Chronicles chapter 16, rather. 1 Chronicles 16. First Chronicles 16 in verse 42. Excuse me, it's talking about praising God. And it says, with them, Haman, Judithon, trumpets, cymbals for those that should make a sound, and with musical instruments of God, and the sons of Jeduthun were porters. It's talking about praising God with instruments. Now, there is a sound of a joyful noise. And I just want to read a couple of scriptures on this. You don't have to turn there unless you want to jot down these scriptures. I'm going to go fairly fast on them. In Psalm 66 in verse 1, make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. You say, well, that's us doing it. But I want you to stop and think about this. Who gave you the ability to make a joyful noise? God did. If you are yielded to the Spirit of God, that noise that comes out of your mouth, can that be a work of the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. I don't know if you've ever given it any consideration, but, you know, we have talented people in this church. God gave them that talent. Can God be heard as they use that talent? Yes. Absolutely. And really, that's the way it should be. You know, you can turn on some crossover music, some of the stuff, the contemporary stuff that really doesn't even focus in on Jesus. And you listen to it, and there's an absence of God speaking. I mean, you know that that is a person's own musical abilities, the talents that God gave to them, that they have studied, that they have prepared for, and now they're delivering them in sometimes very perfect musical balance. But you don't hear God speaking. And then you can hear somebody, and I mentioned this before, I don't know how many of you remember Lester Roloff. Lester Roloff could not carry a tune in a bucket, but he loved to sing. And when he sang, you know that it was the Lord speaking. God was speaking. Well, what an amazing thing that even though the man didn't have the talent as many number one singers in the religious world have, yet you could tell God was in it. You could tell God was in it. I heard a man one time speaking. He came to a rally, and he had just gotten there. He was late. And he was basically out of breath because he ran from the car to get on stage, and the evangelist was there, and he said, well, I'm going to stop for a moment because Brother so-and-so just got in. And he says, I want to have him sing. And the musician came in to the pulpit behind the mic. And he says, let me tell you something. He says, I was just on a plane. And he said, it's the most amazing thing. He says, I was planning to sing such and such a song. And he says, God spoke to my heart. And he says, this is what I want you to sing. And it was so powerful. You know, there are things you know, we can either go by the book, and I'm not talking about the Bible now. We can go by some scientific book or some book of theory, some manual that says this is how you do it. Or we can rely upon God to do it with us. And there was hardly a dry eye in that whole auditorium. There are ways that God, through noise, verbal noise, joyful noise, that he's able to speak to people. Oh, over in Psalm 81 in verse 4, it says, "Sing aloud unto God our strength, make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob." Psalm 95 and verse 1, "O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." Psalm 95 and verse 2, "Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms." Psalm 98, verse 4, it says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise." Psalm 98, verse 6, "With trumpets and sound of cornet, make a joyful noise before the Lord the King." Psalm 100 and verse 1, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." Are we able to discern the difference between professional music that is not anointed, but sounds good, appeals to the contemporary beat, contemporary type of music? Can we tell the difference between that and a joyful noise, even though it may not be perfectly on tune? It is joyful and it is powerful. And God is the one who is speaking through that person. I think a lot of times we neglect some very obvious things when it comes to listening. There are sounds of God judging nations. In Ezekiel chapter 31 and verse 16. Ezekiel 31 and verse 16, he says, "I made the nations to shake at the sound of his fall." He's talking about Egypt. "When I cast them down to hell with them that descend into the pit, and all the trees of Eden, the choice and best of Lebanon, all that drink water, shall be comforted in other parts of the earth. Other nations will fear when God brings judgment, and they can hear it coming." They can hear it coming. There was tremendous fear around the world when the United States used nuclear weapons to end World War II. In Hiroshima and Nagasaki, many, many people were killed instantly. And a new weapon appeared on the battlefield. Now, It seems strange that we've gone for a very long period of time without some significantly new weapons or some terror being brought in. You know, the fear of nuclear weapons is what has reigned from the end of World War II up to the present. Everyone has this terrible, horrible fear of a nuclear weapon. And, you know, those are things that, you know, they give examples to all the other nations. You better behave because this other country has nukes. You better look out. I mean, right now the common thing is to watch North Korea because they're starting to get nuclear weapons again. And they have now the capability of delivering on medium-range missiles. So, you know, you look at that and you realize, hey, There is a fear that happens. But where did it start? It started way back in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Look how far that is. How many years that has been. And people are still living in fear. What is going to be the next nation that God will use to bring fear to all the other nations? What nation will fall? Now, in the book of Revelation, it talks about one, and that is political Babylon. And that is going to be an example to all the other nations, and all the world's going to fear. But you see, God spoke through wars. God can speak through events in history. God has the ability to connect what is going on in the world with His Word and let people see that His Word is true. There's a sound of warning for judgment coming soon. Let's stay in Ezekiel 33 and verse 4. Ezekiel 33 and verse 4, it says, "Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head." You had to be able to hear what was going on. There aren't very many people really hearing what is taking place today. It seems as if people have put earmuffs on and they've said, I don't want to hear it. I'm tired of all the fear and all the things going on. I don't want to hear about it. And by doing so, they take away personal responsibility, and there are an awful lot of people today that aren't being saved because they think this world is getting better and better. I really have a hard time understanding this. And I know that there are people in this world, because I've talked to a couple who really believe, well, more than a couple, but they really believe that the world today is safer and better for everybody than it was 20 or 30 years ago. And you know, you wonder, where have they been? They're not hearing, they're not seeing what is taking place in the world today. And they're just not hearing from God. Not everybody's going to hear the message. There are a lot of people that when you try to tell them how to be saved and how important it is, that we're all here for a limited amount of time and better take advantage of what time we have, they tune you out. They close you off immediately. They don't want to hear anything. But you know, every now and then there's somebody who is ready. Somebody does want to hear. And even though they may resist a little bit, in the back of their minds, they have heard some things that has gotten them thinking. They don't want to admit it. They don't want to let you know that they've been thinking about it, because they feel that would look as though they're weak. But the reality is the Holy Spirit's been working on them. And we need to get that warning to people that we are in the last days. Time is short. We need to reach people while we still can. But there are the sounds of this world. Most of you are familiar with the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had about this idol. Actually, it was a statue. And it had the head and the chest and the thighs and the legs and the feet. And Daniel explained what each part meant. And Nebuchadnezzar gets it in his head. Aha! I'm going to use this as a means of having people to worship me. So he built a huge statue after the one that he saw in the dream, the one that Daniel interpreted. And he commanded his people to come out into the plain of Duma, outside of Babylon. And there he had a band. He had musicians set up on a stage. And he gave commandment that whenever they started playing, that everybody was to bow down before the image that he had erected. And as you know, everybody did except for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you know that story. But you know, the sounds of this world are very similar. They're telling us that we need to be worshiping other things, not God. We need to be worshiping other things. And sometimes it's our children. Sometimes it's money. Sometimes it's false security. But they're all saying we need to be worshiping these things. That's the message of the world. Now, if you listen to the message of God, and most of you are familiar with Revelation chapter 3, it says in verse 22, but let him that hath ear hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let them hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, this isn't the voice coming from a big pillar of fire. This is the voice of God speaking by His Spirit. And where is His Spirit? In every born-again person. His Spirit is in every born-again person. That means that He has been trying to communicate with every born-again person. And if you're saved tonight, you're one of them that He's been trying to communicate with. And we have to do more than hear. We have to act upon what we hear. What good is hearing the Holy Spirit convict you of sin if you ignore what He says? And you come back the next Sunday and you hear His voice convicting you of sin, and you don't do anything about it, and you go away, and you don't, you've heard, but you don't do anything about it. In the book of James, in verse chapter 1, verse 22, it says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Doers of the word, not hearers only. So even if you hear, if you don't act upon what God says, what good is it? What good is it? I want to give you something I think everybody here can relate to. I see people all the time. When their phone, their cell phone, gives a sound. Now we're talking about sounds tonight, aren't we? When their cell phone gives a sound that a text message has arrived, they will cut off their conversation with someone else to go and look at that text message. Until we as Christians respond to the Holy Spirit like a person responds to that text message, we really aren't responding in the way that's going to please God. I mean, think about it. Phone rings, what does a person do? It's like, oh, I have to answer it. Why? Do you know who's on the other end? No. And yet God is trying to get our attention. God doesn't have any problems communicating, believe me. And there we are, ready to answer cell phones, text messages. But when God rings, we just ignore it. Which tells me that we really do know the voice of God, because we don't ignore other messages. We don't ignore Him. We don't ignore somebody that's been talking to us, or even somebody we don't know. Got our number by mistake. We don't ignore them. And yet when God speaks, so many times Christians do ignore him. And thankfully that is not an indictment on every Christian, but I think it's something that's real common. And I think it's something that is easily overcome, because just as you recognize a gunshot, and you may not have heard a gunshot for years, just as you would recognize the sound of a cow, and you may not have heard that sound for many, many years, if you've ever heard the voice of the Holy Spirit, you know that voice. You know that voice. And this is where we are today, in a world so desperate to hear from God. And he continues to speak. And he continues to tell us that he loves us. He continues to tell us the power that he placed within us to overcome all the power of the enemy. And so many times Christians are made vulnerable, defeated, discouraged, depressed, because we're not listening to his voice and heeding what he says. Can you do some soul searching tonight? Can you, before you go to bed, can you just analyze your relationship with the Lord and ask yourself, when was the last time I knew that I heard from God? God the Father is a perfect parent. If you had human parents and they were just good, you would hear that parent every day. You'd hear them every day. Because when you were growing up, they loved you. And you may not have understood their love. You may have disagreed with some of the things that they did when you were growing up. But a lot of the things that they did was because they loved you. And here we have a Heavenly Father who's better than any of us, even with the best parents. Don't you think he communicates with his children every day? Guides them. Gives them instruction. So, can we ask ourselves tonight, when was the last time I really was listening for the voice of God? When was the last time when I brought problems to him, I stopped and waited for an answer? When was the last time you can say for a certainty, I was so blessed to listen to my Father's voice and rejoice in what he has done for me? Let's bow in a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you today for your amazing love to us and your patience. Lord, your grace endures, and we wonder why. But that's who you are. And you forgive us, and you set us upright, and send us on our path again and again and again. Help us, Lord, to evaluate our lives and make sure that we really are listening with our spiritual ears. Help us, Lord, to consider everything that your Holy Spirit says and do it. Lord, I pray that tonight that you would bless us, work through us. And as we evaluate ourselves and we find anything that might displease you, anything that is hindering our relationship with you, Lord, help us to get rid of that so that we can be people you can count on. And when you tell us something, we're going to do it. Father, I pray that you'd bless each one today. And with the satisfaction of accomplishing your will, you can give your people great joy. And I pray that we might have that great joy because we know that we please you, we hear you, and we do what you say. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Trust we'll see you on Sunday. Bring somebody with you.